Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Reptile Ramblings. I'm your host, Nate. Brian's a little delayed at home at the moment, but he'll hopefully be on in the next 15, 20, 30 minutes or so. But in the meantime, do a little catch-up. Like I said, this is going to be a recap of our time at Crocodile Encounter, Houston area, herping in Houston, you know, all that good stuff. So be plenty to dig into, depending on how long my laptop battery holds out. Hopefully, it'll hold out. Hopefully it will hold out long enough. I imagine it will. But also, I have a special announcement to make. The podcast has finally got its first sponsor. So shout out to Ethan Breland of Serpentine Expeditions. He's actually decided to do a little sponsorship. And if you go on, let me just check a message real quick, make sure he said what I thought he said. But all right, wrong count. sorry about that. All right. So we'll actually be using, if you do book with an expedition with Serpentine Expeditions, if you go on the website and check out, do the code, and ask for a discount code, if you put in CK25, you'll get $100 off your order. Now, talk with Ian. There might be a few technical issues for the next couple of days with that code. Hopefully, in the next couple of days, that issue will be resolved. But just give me a heads up. Next time you're thinking about going, doing a great herping trip, I highly recommend them. I'm probably going to be doing some herping with Ian here in the near future, actually. So you watched our stream with him, what, 6 weeks ago, maybe? Something like that. So yeah, just really looking forward to hopefully a really great collaboration in the near future. And one thing I did say we do is I would show the website a little bit and just show some their potential trips. So just go, yeah, great mission and all that stuff. Let's see if I can. Yeah, let's just do a quick browsing of their expeditions real quick. Okay, so India, this September 6th to the 20th. They still have slots available for people. Zimbabwe in November and Sumatra, Indonesia in December. Those are all out and available. Oh, and they still have one for Komodo. They don't have the tooth and claw one. That's all sold out. But in December, they do still have a tour out to the Komodo Islands. They have Ecuador in April next year and Suriname in May of next year. So overall, some really great trips lined up. Let's see if I can get the... Yeah. Yeah, so like I said, got a couple of really great trips coming up over the course of the next couple of, over the course, basically the next year. There's what, half a dozen really great trips lined up. So, like I said, go to checkout, use code CK25, you'll get $100 off, which, hey, $100, that goes a long way, okay? Heck, the way the economy is going in the next 2 years, that might be able to get you one whole Happy Meal. but shout out to Ian. I know they're doing great work over there. And, yeah, that was our first sponsorship. Hopefully I didn't butcher it too much. But I guess I'll give a little brief recap of what's going on in my life these past few weeks since the last successful live stream, which when was that? doesn't worth bear thinking about. However that expression goes. Anywho, let's see if I can get. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That will work better for me. Maybe not. Oh well. But yeah, just do a little brief recap. What's going on in my life? I'm officially at Ohio State. I think it's pretty clear over the course of the past few podcasts. I'm going for zoology. I'm going to a branch campus that's about 45 minutes from where I live. Doing a couple online courses this summer, just get a couple credits out of the way. So, you know, six credits out of the way. You need 120 credits to get a bachelor's degree, and that's what, 5%? So, like, get another 5% closer to my degree over the course of the summer. May as well take it. May as well finally get done with college somehow. Yeah. So went up to Sheldon Marsh State Park, which is near Huron. Actually, it's closer to Sandusky, which is on Lake Erie. And that place is known for their... I just need to get... Yeah, well, that place is known for their fox snakes, the eastern fox snakes, which are still endangered in Ohio. You only find them in a few pockets here and there. But for some reason, whenever I go there, I just get skunked out on fox snakes. They're never out and about when I'm there. Don't know why, but that's the way it is. But I did get my lifer turtle. I actually got my lifer Blanding's turtle, which is kind of like the fox snakes in that they have a very scattered, sparse range in Ohio. And they are, I think, it's either threatened or they might be endangered within the state. But they are a somewhat rarer species to see. You have to actually know where to go if you want to see them. So, got real lucky to, well, I wouldn't say real lucky. They're fairly decently common up there. And I'm really certain I've seen some up there before, but this is like my first time getting an actual verified look. Other times I thought I just saw a shell and was like, oh, that's kind of a little too dome to be a painted, but I couldn't really see the face, which, you know, if you know Blanding's, they have that very distinctive yellow chin that it's like, you can see, kind of see here, they have that, you know, kind of really cute, derpy, smiling face. That, you know, that lower jaw, neck, and throat, that kind of like nice, creamy sun yellow. But yeah, just a really cool turtle. Really glad I got to see that guy. Let's see here. Okay, just make sure that. Okay, that's taken care of. Also, saw this really, really big snapping turtle out there. And it was like, yeah, like that. Just hanging half out of the. It was in the middle of the pond, the middle of the wetlands in that park, but it was just like halfway out of the water. This entire carapace and top of his head and neck just completely clear out of the water. Actually, it reminds me, like 2 weeks before these pictures were taken, on another Saturday, I was just driving around. I saw not one, but two snapping turtles on a Saturday morning, more like noon, around noon on a Saturday, just walking around across the roads multiple times. Like, I've never seen that before in all my years around here. But it is nesting season, so it does kind of make sense that they'd be ootin' a boot, as the Canadians would say. But, yeah. Also, some Midland paintings, which, you know, here in the Midwest, Midland paintings are pretty ubiquitous. They're pretty much everywhere. So, but, yeah, that was Sheldon Marsh State Park. And... let's see. And last Saturday, I happened to go up. I was just at a job site, construction site somewhere, and there was a rat snake that was in the middle of a outbuilding that's under construction. So the workers there were going to kill him. So I just went ahead and took him back home, put him in the woods behind my house, put him back to the wild. Got some halfway decent DSLR photos with him. It was a decent sized rat snake. It was all a 4 foot, maybe a bit tad more. But yeah, I haven't really seen that many rat snakes in my neck of the woods in the past. But if we're adding a little bit more to genetic diversity and overall population, hopefully the guy's doing well in the woods out behind my house. Thankfully, it's still relatively early in the season, so we have plenty of time to settle in before, winter hits. But yeah, you can kind of see how they are very dark colored, but they do have this really nice sandy yellow undertones, which is more noticeable when I was holding him, but you can really pick up on the yellows that are kind of underneath the black scalation. So really cool looking snake. And like I said, I got a few halfway decent DSLR photos with my DSLR. And yeah, but overall pretty well behaved snake too. Never musked me a little bit when I first picked him up. Other than that, never musked me. He didn't musk me repeatedly, never even tried to strike at me, never tried biting me, but he was always trying to get away. It's like, which, it's a colubrid, what do you expect? But yeah, just I like this picture because you kind of get that white under chin, that white throat you kind of pick up on, which is always nice. But yeah, I did not have a planter, so I had to instead resort to using a 5 gallon bucket, try to put it on top of that, see if that would get him to hold still, which it kind of worked, not super well. And I really didn't get a planter before I go on any more herping trips. But yeah.
All right. Big old 4 foot Eastern rat snake. So yeah, I'm going to put him down on the back of my property. Not the most ideal, but considering the fate that awaited him where he was, that was the best. But just look at the patterning on this guy. I just got to show the belly off real quick. Look at the colors on the belly. Yeah, he senses the woods are nearby, and you've been really well behaved other than a little musking, so I've detained you long enough, so you know what, you might like a tree a little better. Let people see just how good a climber rat snakes can be. Now probably not that branch, I'm thinking more the main trunk itself. Yeah, there he goes. Circling around. Yeah. There it goes. Off to terrorize squirrels and birds. Live a good life, pal.
Yeah, just, especially that video, you get a lot more of that visual on the yellow colors and all that stuff on that guy. But yeah, really grateful to actually, do a little bit of good and save a snake. And just again, really happy to have it. Know that there should be a rat snake in my neck of the woods. So yeah, just really looking forward to that. So, yeah. Brian just texted me. Should be on here soon, hopefully. hopefully I won't be just talking by myself for 45 minutes again. I might be a little salty, just a little bit. Let's see here. No, that's not what I wanted. In case you're wondering, me and Bryant do use some online notes to help us keep track of what we want to do. Let's see here. Is it? Okay. Oh, hey, here he is.
Hey, Ramblers. What's happening? What's up, Nate?
Just struggling for the past few minutes is all.
No, you've been keeping us up. Come on, man. Let me see. I still need to work on headphone settings here. Am I coming out all right when you're in, though?
Yeah, you're coming through.
Good. What if I do this? Is it worse or is it?
It's a little worse. Yeah, I can still hear you good enough, but.
Yeah. Okay. Well, tell me, where have you left off then? Just a little recap on your end, or?
I was just going over some stuff outside of the Croc Fest, outside of the Texas trip. So I was talking about, like, you know, that rat snake I found the other last Saturday. That like I said, it was on a job construction site. The workers there were going to kill him, so went ahead and just threw him in my empty lunchbox and took him home, put him in the woods out behind my place. So
good deal. Good on you. Man, shoot. Well, let me see. Let me just kind of dive into it. Let me see. I can share Winders. I'll share. Oh no, where is it at? Do you have any photos on your end to speak on?
I mean, I was sharing some photos about the rat snake and also my trip to a local state park a few weeks ago. I think I mentioned to you where I saw like those blandings.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And a big old snapper.
So. Let's see. All right, I'm gonna share my stuff right here. Okay.
Yeah.
So these are some things from the past couple weeks, including a little bit from Texas. Let's
including one of the photos. That's mine.
Yes. I won't take credit for it. Oh, okay. I will take credit for this though. This is fantastic.
God bless the Gulf Coast.
Oh my gosh, and the humidity. Oh, wild. Insanity. So, I mean, I guess to break it down, the kind of like the loose itinerary, you know, I came in much later than you, about in the midnight on a Friday, last Saturday. And then, you know, we were off. I think we just went straight to, well, besides a stop at Whataburger. I had to have Whataburger. It's been forever.
Was it just as mid as you remembered?
You know, not terribly mid. I tried a weird burger, pico de gallo. It was very strange, but
that's the weirdest thing for a burger. You never think of burger and go like, you know, what would go good on this pico de gallo.
Yeah, I mean, not to be what we call it, stereotypical, but they just kind of mixified it, and it turned out all right. I liked it. It was a weird combo, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah. So. But yeah, that was just on some random roadside place.
Yeah. And then I guess I had a point to talk on, you know, Crocodile Encounters. You know, what was my impressions of it? I loved it. You know, overall, from what you were telling me from past accounts and just the overall consensus that it's pretty unique, what do you call it? Not sanctuary, I guess you could call it that. Facility for crocodilians, and you know, main man Dieter, he does good work over there. Everybody does.
Also, we should try to see if we can get him on Reptile Rambling sometime again. But to be fair, we do have that one pre-recorded one that'll hopefully be coming out on Monday.
Yeah, guys, Monday, I think we say, what, 8 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So check it out.
Yeah, hopefully that will be when it's published. We'll see how that goes.
Let me see. And then this was the auction. I snapped some shots of the auction while I was going. Fantastic auction. You know, I don't want to say, but you can recap how much did we raise for Tomistima conservation and research? And
we personally, or just the event in total
of the auction, the consensus.
The auction. I think the auction was like, I think the silent auction netted like 3,000 or 4,000, and then the I guess normal auction, if you want to call it that. And then like a couple extra grand, a few more grand on that, like 6 or 7. Actually, no, I probably did more. That one Tomistima skull, well, Tomistima replica skull, museum grade replica skull, that went for what, just shy of 2 grand? In
just shy, like 1,700 or 1,800 or 1,800.
I thought it was 1,900. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think you're closer to the truth. Yeah. It went for a good chunk of change. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no kidding. I did get some stuff for it, some Folio's Apparel stuff, including a little Tomistima hat. Seemed kind of appropriate for the subject at hand. And
yeah, I heard the latest Snakes and Stogies, and you know, they kind of shouted out that fact too. You know,
well, I was in the chat pestering them about it, so.
Well, you had to let it be known that, you know, you're repping Folio's Apparel, which is a great company by Smitty. You know, definitely recommend it if you want herp-centric, you know, hat apparel or shirts, whatnot.
But yeah, apparently the Tomistima hat I donated for the silent auction, it got $110, which for a ball cap, not that bad.
No, not bad at all. That's solid. My goodness. This is one, I think there's like the... because you kind of passed out kind of quickly once we got to the hotel. And I wanted to beep up around just because my first time being back in Texas after like four years, I believe. And just, man, yeah, the overall humidity, the atmosphere just blew me away. I was like, man, it feels alive out here. So I decided to beep up around a little ditch area. And I was shining in some of the foliage, and out was one of these guys sleeping. There were so many, actually, but this is the only one I actually bothered with.
Yeah. And this is obviously not your life for Carolinensis.
No, it was close to, you know, Em and me, we did a trip in Mississippi a couple of years back, and we saw one of these guys. So, no, not my lifer, but damn near. Last time I was in Texas, I didn't see any.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, last time you were in Texas, you were in the Rio Grande Valley, which I don't think Carolinensis goes that far west and south.
No?
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't, besides overall maybe other soaring competition, but...
I was going to say probably drier, more open habitat.
And to be fair, the majority of lizards I saw were either whiptails or scaloperus, which are renowned xeric-associated herbs. You know, they can tolerate some high and dry times.
Yeah. You know. I'm actually looking up Anolis carolinensis. Hop it on INAT real quick.
Sure. I'll just recap the everything else.
Duke all the way down to like the Rio Grande area, but it's only fringes on the Rio Grande River. Like say along like the Gulf Coast in like Brownsville, and like one random spot around what's the name of this town?
Plant nurseries or greenhouses, something like that.
Well, it's not far from what looks like a state park, national park, or state park of some sort.
Huh.
But it's all like in the downtown of this one town. And it's like a few scattered ones here and there. That's a couple sightings in the Big Bend area of all places.
Sweet. You know, I know that was one place we were talking about. We never had time. I mean, to give the guys context, we only had really a day and a half to do much in East Texas. And, you know, the overall focus was just you know, being at Crocodile Encounter, kind of networking and also meeting up with friends, folks, and podcasters, because there was another podcast, what do you call it, bench or area. It was a shout out to the Reptile Gumbo podcast with James and Katie.
And they were actually professionally set up, unlike us.
We all start from somewhere, humble beginnings. But yeah, I saw their setup, very legit. I mean, they've been doing it for a while, I told you, since 2020. So, you know, James, you know, he takes the cake for starting it up. He's been at it for a minute. I've been listening to them for a while. They're a hootering and hollering type of crowd. Very funny, very relatable people. And no spoilers here because they already announced it, but you know, they did interview us in a type fashion. So that should be out relatively soonish on their end. I guess obviously we'll have to return the favor and invite them onto ours one day.
To all our fans out there, how many of you are there? Just start randomly DMing them, see if we can pressure them to do an early release. It'd be so hilarious to just get like three random DMs like where's Reptile Rambling? Where Reptile Rambling episode? We want it.
I mean, I want it. I mean, I'm ready. I want to listen. I mean, I had a good slew of guests, and then eventually we did it ourselves as well. Starting with this one guy, you know, Andrew. Mm-hmm. Is it Andrew Austin? Is that his like full name?
Yeah,
that's funny. AA.
On Instagram, you can find him as the Texas Naturalist.
And he very much encapsulates that. You know, him and I have been following each other's account, the social media accounts, for years, and we've chit-chatted quite a bit here and there on various topics. And it was a pleasure to meet him in the flesh, you know, and kind of as I expected, very down-to-earth fellow, chill, you know, kind of relatable to me, but he's just, you know, he was a cool guy to meet. He was,
yeah,
he was awesome. So, and we had a great chat with him, and you guys can find that recap on the Croccast podcast YouTube. And is it on?
I do have it up on the other streaming services now.
Perfect. Yeah, definitely give the whole app a listen. It was fantastic. But I do suggest video just because, you know, it's nice to see us actually interact on video like that in person. So yeah. That was awesome.
I do kind of feel sorry for just catch for the thumbnail, just catching as a random moment of you just cheesing.
No, I did see that you guys looked all stoic and happy, and I'm just like, what? I was gonna say something. I was like, you know what? I'll let you have that, Nate. You know, because you mainly deal with, you know, marketing. I need to, you know, up my ante.
Yeah. We did get some herping in here and there. Like, yeah, you mentioned you got there several hours after me, so I taken the opportunity, and if you want to stop presenting so I can
show up.
I did a little driving around. Shout out to Jack, Road Trip Monster. He put me onto a spot or two to see some copperheads, and did a little road cruising, and lo and behold, I saw some copperheads, which
would have got to.
Yeah, copperheads in East Texas, that's unheard of, right? So,
not a common phenomenon.
Yeah. In total, I saw three copperheads in total, live ones. However, looking back now, thinking on it, it might have been the same individual crossing the road three times that I kept on harassing. Because it was like the exact same size. And, you know, exact same size, still had that little bit of a caudal lure coloration. And was almost on the exact same spot on the road every time. It's like, I'm sorry, little guy. I'm sorry I kept poking you with a stick. I was trying to get a good picture. I thought you were someone else.
Well, you know, obviously being so far south from us, they are, let's say, what, a month or so ahead of us seasonality-wise. So I don't know how viper gestation is the further south in the continental U.S. So. Like, who knows? Could have been various different neonates or just the one.
This wasn't a neonate. There was no way this was a neonate. It was way too big to be a neonate. It was
like a subadult.
Yeah, I'd go more like that. It wasn't as big as the one we saw a day or two later with Jack. It was maybe like half that size. So unless that was one big bloated mama copperhead, that was definitely not a relative newborn. So,
yeah, and pretty faded looking. Definitely a lot different than the one that we saw with Jack.
To be fair, it could have been either A, that location, or B, we saw the one with Jack during the day. This one was like at night in headlights and stuff like that. You know exactly how many problems I had with my flash. Ugh.
I mean, lighting is one of those things. Yeah, I don't want to get you started on the ramp, but yeah, still, I would have thought there'd been a big color on that. So that one, you know, copperheads are variable just like any other species, but yeah. I mean, good on you. You know, you got some herping in, you also got some frogs, right? Some leopard frogs. There's quite a bit of leopard frogs on our,
yeah. Yeah.
On our
southern leopards. Yeah.
On our road cruising sessions. I was excited to get a Gulf Coast toad. That never happened, but next time.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find. Yeah, that's a southern leopard frogs for you.
Yeah, good deal. I don't think I've seen any up here by me. I mean, I don't really go looking for them. And maybe because I don't spend too much time in the wetlands, I haven't this season, but yeah, I haven't seen much. It's still cool. And it makes sense. That, like I said, that Southeast Texas atmosphere is just chock-a-block thick.
yeah. Muggy. If you look up the definition of the word muggy in the dictionary, it has a picture of East Texas in it.
Legitimately, yeah. I mean,
it was more humid than Columbia, at least parts of Columbia.
Yeah, and again, we divulged in this topic saying, you know, we kind of chickened out on that walk in Columbia. I mean, it was in broad daylight, and I mean, it was hot, and we were exhausted. But yeah, I mean, it was, and like that walk with Jack. Oh my goodness, we were troopers. I liked his words of affirmation. He's like, man, all my other fans, they would never finish that walk with us. you guys are real ones.
That's because we're herpers. We're a little mentally damaged. We're used to suffering.
Yeah, we're used to getting multiple heat strokes in one hiking session.
Yeah,
hey, I take it from experience. I've had some close calls. I'm sure you probably as well. But yeah, it was intense.
Yeah, I do remember like that first night in Costa Rica. We're just kind of hiking. It's like there should be a eyelash viper somewhere. And I made the quip that if there's one thing herping has taught me, it's what did I say? It's not masochism, but like it's taught me to embrace the pain, embrace being struck out, embrace disappointment. And then like 5 minutes later, we started finding them. We found them throughout the rest of the trip. So
I mean, there's some truth to that. I think you do have to be slightly masochistic to really enjoy herping overall, because there are some tough outings out there. We've all had them.
That's why herpers are usually a bit tougher than birders. Birders have everything so easy, don't they?
110%. You know, you can walk outside your dirt and boom, there's a bird. It's like, it's just cheating, you know?
Yes. I mean, who wants to look at the inferior archosaur anyway?
Man, I you know, that quip should just always belong to you. Birds, the inferior archosaurs. You have it out for the birds, man.
I legitimately don't. I just think it's funny because birders get pissy. So,
yeah. I'm starting to dive into the world of birds. So it's like, for the most part, you're very accurate with that statement. But once they get, you know, beefier, or if they're birds of prey, which is my preference, you know, I'm like, oh, they're cool too. Yeah. They can kind of hold a candle, kind of. You know, I wish for the return of terror birds. So I'm like, hurry up, Siri, I must, you know, get bigger.
Start evolving. But yeah, that also reminds me of my that same state park. I saw those turtles, and I also saw some herons. So
really,
a wetland. It's a wetland park, so of course it's going to be like, you know, these little green herons. But
oh, it's gorgeous.
Also, yeah, it's also on the lakeshore, so you also got these nice big great blues as well.
Yeah, of course. Of course, very typical. Yeah, I mean, we saw a few shorebird species in Texas. Also, a really cool one. I think they're called what, night crowned tiger?
Crowned night herons.
Oh man, I love them. I've seen them in Panama. I've seen them in Texas. Yeah, I do wish I took more
bird photos, but again, just due to lack of time. And we can just dive into like our first proper day in Texas.
We
had a bit of time in the morning.
Yeah. I was going to say with this picture, if I had a super wide angle lens of some sort, you looked up, like further up to the right on it, off in the distance, you'd actually see some of the roller coasters from the Cedar Point. Because fun fact, this state park is actually, it used to be the Causeway entrance to Cedar Point way back in the day, but it got kind of demoed and reestablished as a wetland. So,
I mean, that's fantastic restoration, restoring it. But yeah, you know, the next day after Nate picked me up, you know, we woke up, community was still there.
But we know it always is. It always is. Get used to it. It only goes away in the winter.
Yeah, but with some local contact, I think Andrew or maybe Jack, you know, they kind of put us on and kind of around.
It was Andrew who pointed me to that spot.
Yeah, there was some areas around the Gulf Coast that we checked around. That we found some litter, some cover to flip around and whatnot. Nothing terribly successful, but it was fun to try our hand at a little bit of herping. We saw a few DORs.
Yeah, that one really desiccated Nerodia of whatever variety of Nerodia that was. I think you said it might have been a broadband or
no. I said I think it was like a Mississippi green because they're there as well. And then obviously the one that, you know, if you're not
really cool to see, yeah.
Well, that, but also what was it, like the Gulf Coast or Salt Marsh?
Was it Dixi? Dixi or was it?
No. It's a Nerodia too. It's like.
Yeah, Clarky. I'm trying to think of species name.
Clarky or something.
Clarky, that's it. Yeah, Clarky. Clarky, yeah. Clarky.
Yeah. I'm kind of like the Europeans. I say E with the eyes and species. But yeah, overall, we tried our hand. Nothing much happened, but it was still cool to be out and about. And then we went, well, we got some grub, some Laredo, Texas Taco Company. They're in the gas stations in East Texas. I love them. Mainly because just you have so many variety of meat choices. I'm like, dude, this is not how it is in the Midwest. We have our Casey's and we have our BP.
You have Casey's?
oh yeah, I forget. Not everybody in the Midwest is privy to that as well. Yeah. What do you have? Like,
we don't even have Wawa's. No, we have Hunt Brothers Pizza at the Bell stores.
To be fair, we do.
There are Casey's, but they're like West Ohio.
Far between.
So
yeah,
there's a few scattered ones out in West Ohio. It's kind of like looking at the range map of the species, and at the fringe, that's the most sparse out spotted sightings.
Yeah, the relation.
Basically, if you INAT Casey's locations, you see a little few dings in West Ohio, and that's about it.
That's hilarious. This is the Relectual gas stations. But yeah, and then we made it to Crack Encounter, and obviously that's when we started just meeting up with, you know, friends, folks, people I've never seen but have talked online, like Andrew and whatnot. And then, you know, seeing, you know, the big proc boss himself, Dieter, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, just what a bundle of positivity. He just has a great energy to him. And you kind of have to in this economy and in this specific subset of, I guess, conservation / herpetoculture. Because in a way, you know, he has like a huge, not petting zoo, because you can't pet any of the crops.
oh man, the social media posts that would come out from that being turned to a petting zoo.
It'll be like that one Futurama episode where they brought the dinos back to life. you could ride the T-Rex and feed the T-Rex, and then you know what happens with that. So
it's like, I'm sorry, Jimmy, we couldn't afford the frozen rodents for him. We'll just have to use you instead.
For the greater cause. No, but I mean, overall, the facility was fantastic. Seeing the Tamissima was awesome. I mistakenly thought they were Johnston-y for long. And, you know, I bantered with Nate on this. I'm like, you sure, dude? I'm like, I mean, I've never seen one in flesh, but I'm like, it's looking little Aussie to me. And then you ask Dieter, it's like, oh no, listen, it's Mr.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Man.
But you know, the what was it? A female? I don't even know what it was, but
the bigger ones are females.
Yeah, you know, it was in a great location, right by the fence, and yeah, just full body, just out of the water, just fantastic viewing. And I know we snapped a couple photos of it. It was great to see. You know, still, I would say probably my top three, one of my top three favorite crocodilians. So it was great to see them. All the collaborations from other facilities and institution, mainly Florida-based ones. I mean, it was all fantastic to see the collaboration. Yeah. And I guess overall, it was like 4,000 or 40,000.
Yeah. In total.
In total, which is fantastic.
Yeah. So. But yeah, that's your Johnstony for you.
My false Johnstony. Oh! Also, bringing it back.
If you start calling them false freshies, I swear.
Hey, that's gonna be a trend. You just started it. You just started it, Nate. Thanks to you.
Oh man.
I wanted to go back to Austin, with Phil Goss, president of US Art. You know, he was the what do you call those people?
Auctioneer.
He did great, and he was, you know, he's pretty funny. Yeah. He did good with that. And man, well, he had so many names for Tomistima.
So funny. Tomistoni.
Tomistoma. It was hilarious. Yeah. So overall, it was really nice, and it was a great ending to that evening at Croc Encounter. I mean, we were there for like the whole day, from like 10 till. What, 6, 7? No, longer than that. I think
it's like 7:30, 8 o'clock almost.
Yeah, like about 8, because when we left, the sun had like already set. It was starting to get dark.
Starting to get herping time.
Yeah. That brings me to the thing. We started to one of the road crews just a little bit for our last night in Southeast Texas. Let me bring up that one photo of what we first found. Let me see if I can present. Okay, with me. Where are we at? More options. Unless you have photos of what we first found.
Of what we only found.
Spoilers. I'll just pull it up right now. Let me see. But yeah, I mean, and like not even a quarter of a mile away from Dieter's place. You know,
little baby broadhead, brown banded.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty. They're gorgeous water snakes. They're one of my favorite. But yeah.
Yeah,
man. But the Mazes were force.
Oh man, they were crazy.
You know, it's been a while since I did, you know, besides our Columbia trip, it's been a while since I've done like nighttime herping. And I just forgot, if you're in like pretty humid settings, how bad mosquitoes can be.
Yeah.
That was a rude awakening. I was like, Jesus, man. All for a little water snake. And I even told you, man, I hope we didn't just get bitten up just for this one neuroni.
And lo and behold.
Yeah, I jinxed us with that. But still, pretty snake. So, I'll take a snake over nothing. So, at least we didn't get skunked.
Yeah. Actually, interesting little tidbit. I haven't told on the podcast anything that yet. You know how that thing was chewing on my hand pretty well and good when I first grabbed him? Which, you know, Neurodia is bound to happen. But
some effects?
For like next day or two after, right here on my hand, right about the knuckle, it looked a little swollen, a tiny bit puffed up, and the joint was a little sore for like a day or two. It's like, huh, that's weird. I remember like banging my hand against like a doorframe or anything like that. And I was like, could it be this little Neurodia chewing on me? It didn't look like it broke skin, but still, it was maybe a little something gone in there and just made my knuckle a little sore. So
well, you know, there's there's vying opinions about, you know, all reptiles are venomous to some degree, and then obviously with nature scenes.
Yeah, like, I don't buy the whole all reptiles are venomous, because it basically says, oh, they have active proteins in their saliva. Okay, in that case, then I guess humans are venomous as well.
You know, yeah, everything's venomous by that standpoint. So, but I will say your story kind of relates to a few garter snake bites that I've had. There was one in particular number of years ago. It was a really ornery female, and obviously I flipped her, I picked her up, so I mean I don't blame her, but she was chewing on me for a good bit, and then, you know, next couple of days afterwards, you know, where she bit, that just generalized area, you know, my skin rose up, it was slightly inflamed and itchy. So I was like, oh my God, did I just get envenomated by a freaking garter? I was like, that's funny. That's interesting, but I mean, no long lasting effects. So I mean,
yeah, and like it faded in like a day or two, so definitely wasn't anything long lasting, but I was like, I don't remember banging my hand against anything. That's kind of weird. Maybe I did just bounce my hand against something and I just don't remember it. That might have been the case. Same time, that thing was chewing on my hand quite a bit. So,
yeah, it's still interesting to think on. Also, near our hotel or motel, whatever, tons of these walking stick insects. I mean, and they were getting it on, dude. You know, it was. Love was definitely in the air for these little critters. You know, I was just kind of taken aback by how big they were. Obviously, maybe zoom a little bit, you can kind of see the male surmounting the female, decent sexual dimorphism, but just real interesting. I thought they were cool.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but stick books, so let's do it like we do on Brian's camera roll.
About chicka wow wow, and then this is like a young little green anole, you know, all right by the hotel. So you know, when you're down and out, you can still herp about. So it was a cute little green anole.
That should be a phrase on a t-shirt. When down and out, herp about.
When you're down and about, still herp about. Yeah, I might coin that to Smitty or make that our own thing. Let me see, and then. Man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah, that's me.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Looking at Nate's very stoic backside. I will say you do have a good posture there. I will admit that. Oh, no, serious, man. You know, you're not really slouching and whatnot. I mean, to give people context. I mean, Road Trip Monster. He's in freaking shorts. It was hot. It was humid. That was a tough little hike we did, but you know, we trooped along.
It's the most polite way if someone ever called me a big back ever.
Strong back, but you know, yeah, this is kind of like what you were talking about earlier, the copperhead that we found with him. Real pretty looking thing.
Yeah. The copperhead whose punch I beat you to.
Yeah, paparazzi. Be on the lookout. But it was awesome, you know. It used to be known as Southern copperheads. Now they've been lumped in with Easterns, right, with Contortrix. But,
yeah,
I still keep the Southern moniker, just like I bet most other Texan herpers do, too. So,
yeah.
Real cool to see. That was pretty sweet. And then, I was like, no, found. Also, there were plain bellies, but, you know, once you see a plain belly, you kind of see them on. They're not the best snake subjects.
Yeah, it's like, oh, here's basically what looks like an ugly cotton mouth with even less patterning.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked about this before. I'm not a fan of getting bit. If I get bit, I get bit, but I'm not a fan of Nerodia bites. I'm kind of fed up at this point with those guys.
You don't want a sore, swollen up knuckle.
No, I mean, I've even had one, like a big plain belly, actually slice me open just because by the angle of the strike, it was really crazy. I was like, whoa. And then, you know, we did before our flight, because, you know, we had to kind of get to the airport at a reasonable time. I suggested one more spot, and, you know, they was hesitantly said, all right, you drive, though. I was like, ah, yes. And so we beeped up the round for maybe half an hour or less, probably like 15 minutes or so. And then was it a lake or I forget?
It was like they call it like Bluegill Lake or Bluegill Pond or something like that. No. And there's, and I spotted this, I pointed out this musk turtle that was on this little log.
And well, we thought it was a musk turtle. And then at first, you know, I was a good maybe 15 yards away from it. And, you know,
you did something really damn impressive. I'll say that.
I told you at first, like, nah, I'm just going to let him be. I'm not going to catch him. And then I completely just say yeet. And I, and a couple of steps forward, I grabbed that sucker from the water. And then I gave a closer look. I was like, it doesn't really look like a musk turtle. And I was thinking, I think it's a mud. And if that's the case, that was my lifer mud turtle, eastern mud turtle. We have them in Illinois, but I've only seen like desiccated ones. So that was cool, you know, get a lifer Telonian.
Funny you should say that. I did send a picture of that to Jack, and he just replied back, Elon Musk?
yeah, he told me, he clued me in on that. I was like, yeah. I mean, we did see a lot of Teslas too that day. That's pretty ironic.
Yeah.
So many Cybertrucks. Oof.
You combine tech-savvy Houston with it's got to be a pickup truck, Texas, and what do you get? So
you did get some nice close-ups on this thing. So I wish I would have took some more photos. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of ironic. I told you, too, like how, you know, we only found one Chelonian in Colombia. And then, there, you know, it's like the, you know, another similarity to this trip. You know, if I only find one. Would yeah. This be your life or two, probably?
I've probably seen before, but I never really took a voucher photo. I can't say for certain.
Still, pretty cool, pretty neat.
It's kind of like those landings I mentioned before that I'm pretty sure I saw it seen before, but this few weeks ago was the first time I actually, you know, fully confirmed saw them. So.
Yeah, when it comes to cases like that, I'm usually just like, okay, now that I've seen it and photographed it, now this is it. We have evidence that I can go back to. Oh, nice. He's poking his head out the water. Cool. Yeah, the little turtles, by the way, if you're not knowing about them, they're cool.
Yeah.
Very neat.
Right. Anything else? Any thoughts about Crocodile Encounter?
Well, you know how it was kind of a cluster something the other episode where, you know, I tried to join you while being in the field and just, you know, the connection was completely crappy. Main reason, if Ramblers will remember, was obviously in the field, but my bad. Let me just. Yeah, I found I had a Blue Racer in hand, and I was walking back to the car, and then, you know, I hear continuous noise of a snake, and then I look down, and it's a freaking hognose, and hognoses for me are not easy to come by. I mean, they're not easy to come by at all in Illinois, and just to randomly spook one like this is always a plus. I was like, holy shit, you know, this was a decent sized male and very nice and light in color. Unfortunately, though, I spooked it, and when I grabbed it, it just ejected like three toads. I was like, ah, shit. So I felt bad about that, and he never did come back to life. So he didn't make for the best photo subject, but a hognose is a hognose. You know, freaking awesome snakes. I love them. So, I mean, that was a great time. You know, I wish I could have included you guys more in it, but just how it was. Maybe another time we can do something where there's better reception and I can be, one of us can be in the field. We should do that one of these days.
Sounds like a nightmare for me, but.
Well, we'll get her down. But yeah. In terms of like the herping front, it's been kind of standby now. Now that we're starting to get into some real summer heat and also some summer rains, which is nice. I would say this year, at least for my part of the Midwest, spring was fantastic and kind of prolonged compared to other years. And then the transition into summer was a bit better than other years. So overall, I can't complain about spring and early summer. But now we're starting to get into real summer heat.
Yeah.
That's kind of when the herping dies down in general for most people.
So, but yeah, that's the Rattlesnake from last weekend.
Nice. So, I mean, I still call these grays. I know, what is it now? They're called, they're Easterns now, or
Alligadensis, or is the species name, right?
Yeah.
Pantherocus alligadensis.
Yeah. I know them as Philotes. I'm just going to stick to that, you know.
Well, I'm on the Allegheny Plateau, so I call them alligadensis, so.
Which is fair to you, but since, you know, I'm over here in Illinois, I'll call them my grays. But, yeah, real nice looking snake. I love rat snakes. I would say of the big snakes, they are common, but they are pretty elusive. You know, I could see 5-10 razors before I see one rat snake.
Yeah. This is actually the first wild rat snake I've seen in quite a few years in my neck of the woods. So it's been a long time since I actually seen a wild rat snake.
They're awesome snakes. I mean, I love finding them in the wild. This one has some nice patterning, the one you found. Nice.
Yeah. Like I say, he has that nice bit of yellow undertone to him. But yeah, he was
He was like what, 3-ish, 4 foot? He was a good size.
I'd say it was about 4 foot-ish.
Yeah, that's a good size for a snake.
Yeah, pretty decent size. But like I said, he was just in the middle of this construction building. He was like on one of those back walls that's still being built, where that on like the bottom 2x4 just slithering about. So
I mean, that's so rat snake. They'll just be, I mean, there's a freaking Facebook page called, you know, Rat Snakes in Predicaments, and this, oh, you should have submitted this. This is a rat snake in a predicament.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome snake. Cool. But yeah, we kind of concluded with Texas, with, you know, meeting up with Road Trip Monster and herping a bit with him and ourselves, and then, you know, back to reality. So I guess, what were some takeaways you had from the overall experience besides, you know, reconnecting with friends and Dieter and whatnot?
I mean, I've been wanting to meet Jack in person for a long time now, so it was great to actually finally get to meet him and talk to him and go herping with him. Hopefully we can do that a couple more times at some point in our lives.
Same, likewise. Yeah.
And, I do enjoy his chocolate mint ice cream rattlesnake.
Oh man, yeah. We, you know, he was a great gracious host. He let us in his house and whatnot. And yeah, and we saw his collection, beautiful. What do you call them? Modeled, or are they? I think they're modeled, aren't they? Model rock
rat snake. Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna
let's see if I can get just mute the volume, but yeah. It's a
you want to hear your glorious voice again.
Yeah. People have been subject to it enough, but yeah, you kind of see a bit more of the color in this video.
Yeah, he's a real colorful one.
So, but yeah, that's, like I said, he's like all 4 foot. He was a big one.
Good old chicken snake or black snake, they call him.
Yeah, that's what the Amish kept on calling him, was just calling black snakes.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Once you expose them to like light and like sunlight settings, you know, almost all the rat snakes in the Midwest, for the most part, they'll have some undertones of something, whether they're like pure black, but usually there's undertones of some other color.
Yeah, this guy was like a sandy yellow.
Even though I will say, you know, the rat snakes out by southern Illinois, like, and like you saw, they're real dark.
Yeah,
they don't have too much color on them. They're real dark.
You can still pick up a bit of pattern on them, but. Nothing like that.
Sure. Oh, I guess I did have one more, I guess, local find to share as well of a common water snake. I know I was just harping about how I don't like getting bit, but no, I still like big snakes. Big snakes make me happy.
pause.
They do. But
yeah. I wish I brought my DSLR camera just to get him like that shot right there, but oh well.
I always think about that too, if I should have my camera pack in my car, but then I think about overheating and stuff like that, and you know, I try to see, I don't think that's worth the risk.
Yeah. Do you want to present that rat water snake? Because I forgot to pack my laptop's battery charger and it's going down, so yeah. I might have to cut this short.
No, I mean, this is perfect. We're wrapping up for the most part. But yeah, this was, number of weeks ago. I was out at a local wetland. This one had probably kind of decent damage on the labial scale. It doesn't look so bad in this photo, and I'll probably make a post of it here shortly sometime on my Instagram. You guys already saw that, but yeah, decent Neurodia, you know.
Yeah.
Not terribly colorful, but just, yeah, that wound was pretty interesting to see. But snakes are quite hardy, resilient critters. So overall, still pretty healthy. And I do love how rough, you know, most Neurodia feel. I am a keeled snake kind of a guy. I like things with, you know, texture.
Keeled for your pleasure?
Gosh darn it, Nate. And then this was a recapture. I think I talked about it on my story. But I've known this individual for going on 4 seasons, 4 years. This is a decent-sized eastern milk snake. You know, it's about 3.5. I mean, some of the milk snakes I have out here are huge for easterns. And this guy was quite ornery. I don't remember him being this ornery. He was snapping and biting. I was like, oh, okay. So I just snapped a few pics of him and put him back under his board. But, yeah. He was a great looking snake. He was a little bit, I don't know what's the word, disheveled from how he was before, but still overall, real nice looking snake. So I love my milk snakes. I found so many new individuals this year. So I just keep on adding to my personal stud book. But that kind of concludes, I think, all that I wanted to share for the most part. I think we should have another show where we just kind of share a bit more of our herping jaunts and whatnot. And, you know, that's one thing. I didn't take as many photos at Crocodile Encounter because I was just trying to take it all in, you know?
Yeah.
All brand new to me. I mean, it was fantastic. And these were the hypo Niles.
The T-positive albino, I think it's like
they call them. T-positive. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and neat thing is he's actually a kind of normalish Nile right there for comparison. So
they do just pop out just to the normal wild type.
Yeah. I was going to say, speaking of light-colored crocodilians, did you get to do something that, like, I don't know if you want to share it on air. It might not be the best idea to share it on air, but you got to do something with a light-colored crocodilian that you wouldn't have if you didn't come along.
If I didn't know this guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was cool. I liked it. Yeah. I'll never shy away from crocodilian interaction. I mean, they're so cool. It's a reason why they're one of our favorite groups of animals.
Yeah, there's, you know? we don't shy away from crocodilian interaction. So on some occasions,
we really don't.
On some herping trips, it's probably a good idea we should do it. But
yeah, I don't think we're gonna let that go for a while, won't we?
No. All right.
Oh my goodness.
Any closing thoughts?
I can't wait to go back. I definitely got the bug to go back to Texas, you know.
Texas, because it's a big state.
It's huge. I mean, I wouldn't mind going back to Southeast Texas, but then again, the RGV, it calls to me. You know, I'm familiar with there. I've been there before. I mean, just network, meeting people, you know, having fun. It was a great overall event. And, you know, I can't wait till, you know, Dieter or somebody else in Texas can host another Croc Fest. Probably won't be for a while, but I'm here for it.
If the next one's at next summer one's in Florida, would you consider going to that one?
I think I'm on board now with Croc Fest. You know, it's not even that you've swayed me, but just by me taking the steps with you to joining you on this, I was like, yeah, this is cool, and this is real neat to see. You know, no middle manning of crocodilian conservation. This is just like, you know, boots on the ground, on paper, on photos, whatever. It's happening. It's real. It's in real time. Yeah. You're seeing it happen, you know?
Yeah. I wouldn't add some more closing thoughts, but my laptop battery is about to die. And I don't know how the stream will end if the laptop itself dies, so just call it here.
I guess we can leave guests with you'll have some interesting guests for Croccast.
Hopefully.
We'll see.
All right.
Don't want to jinx you.
Yeah. Oh, and I did try and do the sponsorship read for Serpentine.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, we can talk backstage. But yeah, for any of the Ramblers, you know, this is fantastic. Thanks for catching up with us, and we'll catch you on the next Reptile Rambling.
Au revoir.
We'll see you. Pew. Boom, boom, boom.